Amen. Have a seat. Good morning. We are exceptionally glad that all of you are here for the most part. That's good. We are glad you are all here this morning. Welcome to Restored. I am Rob. And so this morning I'm excited. We're going to take a break from our prayer series that we've been preaching on and off for the last number of weeks, and there's a couple more weeks left. There's this illustration. There's this radio talk show guy in L.A. that was super nasty. And people would call in, and he would just tear them up a new one with his vicious comments and his opinions about stuff. And then people would say to him in return, they would say, well, that's your opinion. Good for you. And he would say, yeah, that's true, but it's the only one I'm qualified to give. And so he would justify his nasty opinions and his nasty comments upon the fact of, well, that's really the only thing I got. And so for a lot of us in here, I know that many of us, how many of you would consider yourself a strong opinionated person? Some of y'all are straight liars. Come on. I know you people. Come on. Okay, and I too, as you know, you might have come to find over the years, is that I'm a highly opinionated person. My friend, Pastor Jason Villanueva from The Source, he always calls me and he's like, what do you think about this? And he's always trying to poke and prod me to share my full-on opinions about certain subjects. And so I have told him, and most of you think this is funny, but I have actually become really reserved in some areas of my life where I am extremely passionate about sharing my opinion about things. So he's like, tell me what you think about this. I'm like, nah, I'm just going to pray, and I'm just going to keep that to myself. He's like, come on! And so he'll prod me because he wants to know, and we're kind of walking together, and I'm leading him through some stuff as being a church planner. And so once in a while, I'll open up the vents of Robism. And he'd be like, oh, I know, I see why you keep that to yourself. And so I am very opinionated. So I just thought, with a grain of salt, I was going to start with you this morning, and I'm going to share some of my somewhat unvented opinions with you about stuff. Are you ready for this? All right. Is the door closed? Okay. All right, good. Number one, let's talk about politics. In my opinion, Ronald Reagan was the last great president we've ever had. In my opinion, nowadays, Republicans and Democrats are all fraudulent, and I think they should all be fired. And don't cheer me on, because you're going to get me all goosed up on any of these things. And by the way, I might offend somebody this morning, and that's the purpose. And we'll get to my point, because I'm not done yet. Amen? And so I think they're all whacked. If I was going to tell you my honest opinion who to vote for, I would say, I don't know, do a guessing game and pray that Jesus comes back before that happens. I think they're all a sham. I think they're all a sham. That's my opinion, okay? Clothing, yoga pants. No, I think they're dumb. I don't see any reason for yoga pants. I think they're incriminating, amen? Skinny jeans. I don't get skinny jeans. Dudes, you're not supposed to wear skinny jeans. That is my opinion. A man should not wear skinny jeans. Amen? A lot of women shouldn't wear skinny jeans, right? That's just my opinion, right? So, number three, if a man is going to dress like a rugged lumberjack and have a big beard and a flannel shirt and all this stuff, we saw this weekend. Somebody read this to me. He has to be able to change a tire. If he can't change a tire, he needs to shave his face and put on normal clothes, right? So I just think that's just in my opinion. If you're going to look like a hardy lumberjack, you need to at least be able to change mama's tire on her Kia, right? Okay, all right. On how to raise your kids, in my opinion, I feel like some of you are doing a great job, and I think some of you are doing a horrible job. I see the way some of your kids come in here, that they are undisciplined, and if it was me, in my opinion, when I'm at Walmart and I see one of these kids going off, I'm going to get Daddy Warbucks up on them and take my shoe and paddle the snot out of your kid and make sure that they line up and behave. That's just my opinion. Sports. Here we go. The Chiefs are the sole greatest football team of all times, and they always will be. The Dallas Cowboys might be straight from the South, man, and I don't mean South America, I mean South, and most other teams are nothing, and I tell you, Ty and I will go to the Super Bowl the next time the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl, and the church will pay for it, amen? Amen. And so I might be waiting a while, I know that, Dale, all right. The Maple Leafs, Toronto hockey is the best sport ever, and so I'm a Canadian, and so I love football. But in the Toronto Maple Leafs, who I've loved since I was in the uterus, are the best hockey team of all times. You're all Americans, don't really know anything about hockey. They're still the best hockey team ever, and most people will talk smack. They haven't been to a cup in a very, very long time. Running is dumb. In my opinion, running is dumb. I don't get it. I saw a lady run around the corner this morning jogging, and I said, I told my son as we were driving Noah, I said, I hope there's a lion chasing that lady, because if not, I don't get it. I don't get your stretchy pants on with your metallics, and I don't get running. It doesn't make any sense to me. Color run. It's just lame. I'm going to run, exert energy, there's no line, and then you're going to throw colored powder on me. I don't get it. In just my opinion. Social media. In my opinion, when you post things about your dumb cat, I don't care. I could care less about your cats. I can care less about your three-year-old cousin's nephew in Amsterdam losing a tooth. I don't care. I cannot stand, in my opinion, I cannot stand when people put stuff on there, if you love Jesus, share or like, or if not, he's going to pass you by. I think social media is a great tool, and in my opinion, it's the stupidest thing ever because a lot of people who shouldn't have a voice get one. Amen? Don't amen that. Don't amen anything in this list, okay? You want to get, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Don't ask me what I think about unions, because I'm going to tell you what I think about unions. I don't appreciate them, and I don't like them. And I will go off for a half an hour in my unreserved 2 cents about what I really think about unions. Guns. Let's talk about guns. You want my opinion? I'm a gun-toting Canadian-American. I have them. I keep them. We shoot paper and not anything else besides that. They're in my house. They're all over my house. They're locked up. They're in a safe place. And I don't really think that what you say about what I have as far as my guns really pertains to anything because I'm a responsible, legal, gun-toting American. That's just my opinion. And if you think otherwise, that's your call. I told you I was going to try to offend people this morning. Breastfeeding. Let's talk about this. I think it's wrong, in my opinion, to make a woman go into a bathroom and feed a child. But I also think it's horrible that a woman would say it's more my right to feed my kid and be able to show all of her stuff out there when you don't understand that a man has literal problems with seeing your naked body. And so that is just my opinion. Have I stepped on anybody this morning? I got all caught. Cartoon tattoos. If you have Snoopy or Mickey Mouse on your body, there's something wrong with you. That's just my opinion. You should not have a cartoon character that you loved when you were 7 on your person. I think that's dumb. That is my opinion. It's just my opinion. Amen. Churches. In my opinion, I think the American church is in trouble. And I think the American church is a hog. I think the American church is into idolatry. I think the American church should be crushed in some ways. And I also think, in my opinion, that the American church, for what God really wanted it to be, is starting to be reestablished to look like what Jesus wanted. That is my opinion. I think we are so far off base. I think living in Kansas as the Bible Belt and all through the Midwest is a curse to most of us because most people think they're saved when they don't really know Jesus, and the church is largely at fault for preaching tender sermons to the hearts and ears of people. That's just my opinion. Racism. Let's talk about racism. Shall we talk about racism for a minute? Twofold. I think racism is the stupidest thing on the face of the planet because God created us all equal, red and yellow, black and white, men and women, right? God created us all. And I've also been a person who has been hit by abuse and racism. I don't think all black lives matter. I think all lives matter. Everybody created by God matters, no matter what color you are. And I have also been a recipient growing up in Southern California of racism from other people because of the color of my skin. And because I'm so pasty, fine, Canadian, white. Amen? How old is the earth, Jared? Steve, how old is the earth? Here's another great question. If you think the earth is billions and billions of years old, I think you're off your rocker. In my opinion, I think you're lame. I think it's pretty easy in the scriptures to point out how old the earth is, and if you don't agree with me, I don't care. Right? That's just my opinion. Now, how many of you in here love Jesus but think differently than that? Well, raise your hand. Okay, good. Look a few of you. Man, you're just all completely wrong. Amen? I'm rounding the corner on this list. Okay, I promise. But I wrote so many of them out, I forgot how opinionated I am. I grew up as a punk rock kid. I believe that Jesus listens to punk rock. And that is his message and music of choice. Amen? And I think ska is evil. And if you guys know what ska music is, I believe it's of the devil. I don't think, in my opinion, that it's right. But punk music is right. But I also can't stand Christian music radio stations. I don't like them. I like the option, in my opinion, I like the option to listen to something else besides radio that's cursed and talking about all this stuff. But in the end, there's four stations that play all the exact same music. They play the same songs 35 times a day. And I would rather listen to the original artist who stole them from the people that are putting it on Christian music anyway. That's just my opinion. Don't stop listening to Christian music. Vegetarians and vegans. I have an opinion. honestly, just to round this corner, is that I have opinions about all of you. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. Some of them are unfair. Some of them are right. Some of them are just. Some of them are pastoral. My point is, I have this in a Rolodex 50,000 times bigger of my opinions. When I was first a believer, I was very right-wing, Republican, NRA, truck-driving Rob. That was me. I cried when a certain liberal Democrat woman became the governor of our state a number of years ago. Before that, I wept and said, why am I living in Kansas? I'm moving. And by the way, I think we should build walls for immigration, but they should be on the Canadian side. We should put up a huge wall so no Americans can jump over the Canadian side after this election. But one day I was going on a rant and a rave about my opinions about political stuff, and I literally heard the voice of the Lord come on me, and he said, hey, be quiet for a minute. And I heard the Lord say, how many people are getting saved because of your flippant opinions based on your point of view? That's what I heard. From that moment on, if you've known me, I don't talk about almost any of the stuff I just said to you. And I want to take it with a grain of salt, and I want you to hear that, because if I offended you this morning, and I easily could have, I promise, I was very reserved. In the end, the point I just wrote this down like night. In everything I just said, there might be truths in what I said. There might be some, I think I said some very truthful things. And there's also a lot of muddled stuff that is taken from my eyes and my broken perspective. And in the end, none of the things I just mentioned are the main thing. Everything I just mentioned are saddlebags to the main thing. They're not the point of my life. And the whole point of our sermon today is that no matter what I believe, everything I believe as a follower of Jesus Christ, nothing takes priority over what God says, what God wants, what God thinks, and what God wills. That is the whole point of this opinion exercise. Please don't tell my wife. So opinion in Webster's is listed as this: a belief or judgment that rests on grounds insufficient to produce complete certainty. Did you get that? Insufficient to be able to come up with certainty that what you're saying is right. And part two was a personal view, attitude, or appraisal. So when I make an appraisal of you, I can look at you and see things on the outside or going on or part of your life, and I can make an opinion based upon you about what I see. The only problem with that is that I'm a sinner. I'm not a perfect judge. I don't have everything figured out. I know that my little image of Jeff Jesus, the long, blonde, flowing hair holding a lamb, that's how I see it, because I was brought up like way on a little church sign and saw little Jesus, Jeff Jesus, petting a little sheep. But in the end, if I was going to look really by the scriptures and what the truth says, Jeff looks more like a bin Laden than he does Jeff. I mean, Jesus does. I just screwed that up. And here's the thing about God. Number one, God doesn't have opinions. God has absolute truth. You hear me? God doesn't have misinformed opinions. The Lord only has absolute truth. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's not just saying, I'm a way of truth. He's saying, I am the only truth. And so if he is the only truth, then as a believer, as a new believer, as an old believer, I have got to start laying down my settled opinions of things in this world, especially as an American. That I have to lay down some of these things and say, oh my gosh, What is the Lord's perspective? And how many of you have learned this the hard way growing up in your walk? Just me? Oh, me and Heather. Okay, good. Good, a couple of you. I wrote down a few more of these points. Is that you have desires, and God has desires for your life. But the only difference between the two is that God's desires are the only one that's right. And so God's desires and your desires might line up. They really, maybe you have such a heart for kids and adoption, and that is your, in your opinion, that is your life calling. And the cool thing is like God will confirm that, and God's desires and your desires might line up. The problem is, as a believer, is you have to be very careful. Your viewpoint has been ushered to you and dictated to you by the world, by people who don't always know God's will and heart for you, and by living in a world. If you look at our society, what does it tell my teenagers? It tells my teenagers that you're young and dumb and you can be stupid and you can bounce off the deep end, you can have sex, you can do all these things. That's just what teens do. Don't tell me that. But that is what's dictated to the world. But when we open the scriptures and we look at the hearts of what God's heart is for our children, it's what? To live holy lives. That a 14-year-old has the same presence of God that a 36-year-old does, and they can actually live a godly life. This is what I'm saying. Our opinions are muddled, and we as believers need to come to the cross and say, Lord, what is it that you say? And so here's some scriptures I want to back this up with, just so I can make this an actual sermon instead of me venting. I'm going to put these up on the board. Number one, Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it is the way to death. Hold on. Everybody see that? So think about this from your opinionated viewpoint of how things should be in the world. This said, there are ways that seem right to a man, but its end is the way to death. What does that mean? You all have some very good thoughts and opinions about things, but in the end, it's very well intended, but could end up in something that doesn't honor Jesus. Do you believe that or not? Yes. Number two, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There is this dichotomy going on here. Number one, I have been crucified with Christ. That means I have literally been laid low, which means not only are we laid low in a spiritual realm sense, but all of my thoughts, desires, and things that I wanted to accomplish in life die with that. Now, some of you will say, well, that sounds horrible. What about the things I want to do in my life? Again, they might line up with what God wants to do, but honestly, most of us, there are things that God has attended you for that you can't see, and you need to open your heart. I have been crucified. So those things, all my desires and wants as a follower of Jesus have been crucified with him. And then what does it say as it moves on? In the life I live now, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who gave me and gave himself, who loved me and gave himself for me, excuse me. Do you understand what the basis of the scripture is? Crucified. I no longer live. How hard is it for me to tag my opinions? Is my opinions of guns and my opinions of vegetarians any way, shape, or form to trump what this just says? It is no longer I who live, right? But it is now Christ who lives in me. That means I just traded everything of my desires, and now I am longing for Christ to live in me and to have his way in me and to make his ways my ways, his words my words, his heart my heart. And this is the whole thing about he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. This is what's happening. There is literally this exchange going on as we die to ourselves. And by the way, this is not overnight. Don't leave here and go, I'm never living on one of my opinions again. Because by lunchtime, you guys are going to say in the car, what do you guys want for lunch? And then all hell's going to break loose, right? All right, so we won't even talk about that. But anyway, is that there's an exchange that's happened. What is happening is God is wanting to pour in his desires and his opinions, even though he doesn't have them, his truths, and you are replacing your opinions. Because in the end, here's what happens when I go on Facebook and I make a rant. When I make a rant about one of my opinions, it is absurding, it is overbearing, it is going over my Christian witness. And now people that don't know Jesus are now tagging Christ along with my opinions. And when my opinions are tagged with Christ, I can misrepresent the kingdom of God. I can mess it up by my rant, even with my good intentions as a good Christian gun-toting American, right? Romans 14, 1 through 9, and I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. I just want you to see this, and this talks about this. I wish Andy was out here. Accept other believers who are weak in faith, and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. Did you hear that? For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything. Hallelujah. Meat eaters, join up. But another believer with a sensitive conscience will only eat vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servant? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. Vegetables and meat are not a main thing item. This just said if someone's heart is tender and they feel sensitive that they don't want to eat this thing because they want to honor the Lord, it just said your opinions don't matter. What you think doesn't matter. And you can literally shame somebody with what we say. And then it moves on in verse 5. It says, in the same way, some think one day is more holy than the other, while others think that every day is alike. You should be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day, do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food, do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating it. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. Listen to this, verse 7. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. Let me say it again. We don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. If we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died, rose again for this very purpose, to the Lord both of the living and the dead. If I sit down to a big steak, or I'm going to go over to When Pigs Fly after church, and Brian's going to feed me the biggest, fattest thing of ribs, and I'm just going to get down, I'm going to get all holy, I'm going to smear it on my face, and I'm going to pray and dedicate it to the Lord. Or if Andy goes home and sits with her little veggie plate, and she prays before the Lord, the whole thing is, and I want to get past this and move to the clothing, beyond the food, beyond all the stuff, is like this. It's the heart that matters, and when your opinions overrun the big main thing, and you make it legalism for everybody else, they should do this, 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 and this. I don't agree with Jared's stance on how old the earth is, and some of you in this room. In the end, none of us can walk out and say it is a main thing issue. In the end, it can take people away from Christ who are wanting to hear. In the end, it will cause damage in the kingdom if I feel like I will want to beat somebody over the head with my thoughts and opinions that I cannot prove without doubt is biblical. John 12, 48 through 50, I'll put this up there. These are Jesus' words himself. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority. This is Jesus. I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment. What to say and what to speak. And I know that this commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. Listen, this is important for believers who want to follow after Jesus with all their heart. Jesus himself just said, I do not say my own 2 cents. What I say is what I get from the Father. What I do is what I am led to by the Father. When I pray as I am led by the Father. If that is Jesus' code of conduct for living on this earth, what is mine? And this is what I'm, I just get so heartbreaking when I, believe me, when I see somebody post something, I want to like jack smack them, right? I want to put a 3-page dissertation on why they're a fool, right? Your cat is ugly, and that isn't the face of Jesus on the side of it, right? Or whatever it is, or someone's opinion, a weaker believer might get on there and say something, and I so badly want to go on there and go on my rant. And then I have to remember that I need to be sensitive with young believers. I need to love people into the truth, not beat them. And quite honestly, I cannot make Jesus a pro anything if he's not. You hear what I'm saying? Here's the last scripture I want you to hear this morning. Colossians 3, 16 through 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And this is it. Listen. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, let me say it again. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Everything that I do in word or in deed is all for the glory of God. And so I have to, as a believer, slow down and think first about what is coming out of my mouth. And does it honor Jesus? Is it His desire? If it is, we stand and fall. And we're going to talk about that in a minute on what His desire is. If not, and I just thought about this last night in Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus told the disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This, we always talk about the pick up the cross part. Did you hear the first part? If anyone's going to follow me, if anyone's going to be my disciple, he must deny himself. Everybody say deny. You are critically important in the kingdom of God, right? Jesus loved you. The Lord loved you so much. This isn't a He doesn't care about what you think. It has nothing to do with that. But what it does have to do with is you have to put yourself in line of the progression of time. It is all God the Father. It is all the Son. It is all the Holy Spirit. You line up underneath them. You are now a representative of them, of Him, for His glory. My opinions in the end, if they might not match up, honestly have no place in my life. Can I keep them to myself? Can me and my wife talk adamantly about how many guns we should have in the house in Jesus? How many guns do you think Jesus would have? I don't think Jesus would have none. I think you're wrong. Jesus told him to get two swords, and that wasn't... Anyway, I'm just not going to go into that. Here's the point I want you to see. Is that this world needs a lot less of Christian-endorsed opinions of man and more of the real truth of Jesus. And God doesn't need your opinion about everything, or about anything, excuse me. And let me just say this gently. Jesus is not pro-Republican, pro-Democrat, pro-gun, pro-America, anti-GMO, and I would even fight some of you to say He is not pro-life. He is pro-Him. And there are things that line up. Is the Lord against abortion? Of course He is. But don't you dare tagline Him in something that is a movement brought on by political parties to divide a country. We make Jesus the King and author and His Word the only truth we have, and everything else lines up. And then the other part of the equation is, not only what do I know if it's true or not, if it's God's will and not my opinion, but in the other way, what is God's opinion or God's angle on my opinion, how I should handle the truth? When I have the truth in something, how should I do it? Because let's just talk about for a minute. I think abortion's wrong. And so what am I going to do? Why would you take a truth that does echo and burn the heart of God and then go out and act like a heathen to represent and give it to people who don't know it? You hear what I'm saying? So there's a two-part focus in here. Number one, what is the truth? My stuff versus God's stuff. I need to get rid of my stuff and follow God's stuff. And even when I have the truth, how would Jesus give it to people who don't know it? Because He sure wouldn't beat people over the face like that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So here's the problems with our opinions. Number one, they'll be up there. You can misrepresent the kingdom of God. You can misrepresent the kingdom of God. Number two, you can mislead your own heart in your relationship with Him. Number three, you can push people away from Jesus. Number four, you can cause hurt and pain in people. And number four, and then the last one is you can cause weaker believers to stumble. That is an issue. Here's the boom. You ready for the boom? Half hour in, I'm getting to the boom. My opinion, what I think, can mean nothing and cause damage if it's not baptized in the truth of God's Word and His desire. What He thinks, what He wants, and what He says should be the only thing that guides my life. This is it, God. This is the heart of what it is to be a disciple. And so my heart's desire is, as I scan Facebook like a creeper, and I see all these things, and even know my own desires, is I just want to ask myself a question. Lord, I have a lot of things I feel are right. And Lord, I need You to help me sift through these things and keep the main thing, the main thing. And help me deliver the main thing in a way that honors You. Everybody hear what I'm saying? So, transition. Here are some of the things that we need to be careful of in our opinion. And I just want to scoot through these in a minute because I know you all have opinions on where you're going for lunch. Here's some opinions that we need to make sure that His truth reigns over our opinions. Number one, the opinion of myself. Went to a conference this weekend. Kairos Conference down in Dallas. Shout out. Amen. It's not your normal kind of conference. It's a Freedom Ministries conference where you are getting in touch with your stuff, and you are bringing out your stuff, and you are calling your stuff for what it is, letting Jesus give you truth over what garbage you have in your heart. And some of it was, go back to words and things that people have said over you over your life that could have made a stronghold in your life. And so I started going back. And so I started hearing the words of people in my life like loser and fat whatever. Or, you know, you would be so handsome if you weren't so fat. And you, if you did this, and if you were more like you're this, this, this. For my entire freshman year, I was called one name by a group of older guys who hated my guts that was sack of crap, but crap was not the other word. My name was SOS for a whole year. These things have been the things that have brought up my identity over my life. These are what's happened from the words of parents, friends, people I love, girlfriends, my wife. All of these things in the years have made up my opinion of myself. And so, number one, I have really got to get down to the nitty-gritty. What is God's opinion for me instead of my opinion of myself? Because to be honest, my opinion of myself, and this is huge for almost all of you in this room. If any of you are just so confident in who you are in Jesus, I need to hang out with you more. Because you don't have enough baggage. I don't know where you come from. But listen, all of you were lied to. Somebody said words over your life that did not describe who God says you are. And so if we're going to understand what God's truths are versus my opinions, when I still can't walk by mirrors, y'all, without looking away. Like, I don't want to look at myself. I just put my head that way and I keep walking. And I hear the words people echo over my life. And so in that, I have to make reckoning with the Lord about who he says I am. And we know what the scriptures say. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Romans 8:37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in the heavenly calling. Listen to this. The scriptures just say I'm new. The scriptures just say that I'm a conqueror, and I'm a conqueror through him. The scriptures just say that I have a heavenly calling. I don't know about you, but none of those things identify myself in my own brain. None of those things. I completely walk around feeling like a fraud almost every day of my life. Me. Oh, Pastor Rob. I think I'm just scamming you when I walk in here. I have got to get rid of the opinions of myself brought on by the opinions of other people who were not acting and walking in love, and I need to get God's truth about who I am. And if I don't, I'm going to continually walk in here every week like a piece of trash. I'm going to continually keep running to the things to feed the starvation in my heart and in my belly and in my addictions over the truth of God and God's word. I have got to get my opinions out. Amen? Some of you have been married and lost marriages and you think it's your fault, or there's some weird twisted thing in your head like you screwed up this whole thing. In the end, who are you listening to? God's truth or your opinion about yourself? Because God says you are loved. You're sons and daughters of the living God. You are clean, forgiven. He doesn't remember your sins anymore. Number two, my opinion of others. I know that none of you have issues with this in here. But I have got to get God's truth to wash out my brain on my opinions of other people. Okay? How many of you have a holy, righteous outlook on everybody you know? Oh, he's just having a bad day, y'all. Just pray for him. Right? Right? Is that how most of you are? I'll just pray for that brother. Oh, he just punched me in the face. God, I bless you. I bless you. Good. I'm in the right place. Romans 14:10-13. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. 2 Corinthians 5:14-17. For the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all of us have died, and he died for all, that those who might live might no longer live for themselves, but for him for whose sake he died and was raised. Listen to this, verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. We regard nobody according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, how many of you had a different opinion of Jesus before you were a believer versus now? This is the comparison. So we used to look at people this way, and just remember, you used to look at Jesus this way, and now that you know him, you can no longer go back and look at them the way you looked at him, because he is now absolute truth. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Here's the deal. We cannot pass judgment or give up on anyone at any time. Do you imagine where this church would be as if we gave up on people quickly? I wouldn't even be the pastor here, right? The 16,000th time I screwed up within year one, you all should have riddled me out of here on a horse, right? And an ugly horse. Not even a good-looking horse. The point is, what about even people that have hurt me? What about those people that seem so distorted? What about members of ISIS and gangsters? What about people who seem so far? The scriptures just say, because you are new in Christ Jesus, your opinion on how you think they should be saved no longer matters. What matters is what he says about them. And your viewpoint is skewed, and so you need to get his viewpoint. Now, most of you will say, I got this one good on most people I know. Stop that. Wimps. Go to the people you know you don't want to give grace to. And the scriptures just commanded you to see them in the way that the Lord saw you. And there is hope and there is chance. What about a man who has abused me? What about a woman who has left me or had an adulterous affair and screwed up my life? God's heart is still after them. And if it wasn't, this room would be empty. Amen? Here's another one, and I just kind of flip this. Now, we don't live, this is kind of out of the box for this, but we don't live for the opinions of others. Sidebar, how many of you are approval addicts in here? How many of you are approval addicts? Yeah, I live with this beautiful approval addict. She wants everybody's approval except mine. Amen? She's an amazing woman. Galatians 1:10 says, For am I now seeking the approval of man or God? Or am I trying to please man? Because if I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Now, so I want to be careful with this, because some of you be like, see, I don't care what you guys think about me. I can be a moron. I don't care. Just what Jesus says. Here's the cool thing is that godly people will line up underneath God when you are living in the way that God wants you to live. Hear what I'm saying? You will line up. The cool thing is, I don't care what my wife says. You know how I appease everybody in my life who I want them to think well about me? I live for Jesus. When I am a good son, I should be an acceptable father, an acceptable husband, an acceptable friend, an acceptable pastor. When my audience is one, everybody else is covered. You hear what I'm saying? The scriptures are what offends people, not me and not them. This is how this thing works. And so for you that are approval addicts, God bless you. The point is to come into the presence of God, understand what he says about you, and just live your life to honor Jesus. Everybody else will fall in line. And then it becomes a little easier. If you are living for Jesus and people still won't accept you, then what you're doing, y'all, is facing persecution for your faith. And that's supposed to happen. You hear me? That's supposed to happen. Audience of one. Everybody say audience of one. I want to be sensitive here. My opinion of the world and current events. Here's what I love. The news will say that there are closed countries like Iran. Iran is a closed country. Anybody in there trying to bring the gospel in there will die or be persecuted. The truth is that we know better than that. We cannot let the opinions of the world, how they see things through their eyes, dictate to us what we see as truth. You look on the news, I will watch the news, and I will get completely heartbroken real quick. Anybody else? I get so tired of seeing babies dying and people shooting each other, and it's easy for me to start forming an opinion that this place is going to hell in a handbasket, and we kind of know the truth to that, but that there's no hope. The problem is the news and brokenness don't dictate what God's word says. God's authority says there is power in the name of Jesus. He is still here. He is sovereign. He is over all of this mess and junk, and nothing can knock him off. And so you can't let your opinions of things that you see on the media downtrodden your heart and make you feel discouraged and hopeless when we know that we believe in the one that is the only answer to everything we see. Amen? So the opinions of the lady on CNN or whatever ungodly network you watch beyond Fox, right? I'm still doing it. See that? You can't let the world dictate to you opinions of how things are going. Amen? By the way, look at your neighbor and say, we're okay. You're okay. And here's the thing that I just wanted to be delicate about. This last one is, I need to have his truth overarchingly over my opinion on how to react to his truths. Woman caught in adultery, John 8. Woman is busted. She has been whoring herself with a man. She was caught in the middle of the act. These Pharisees bring her and drag her half-naked body into the temple courts where Jesus is, and their expectation of everybody is it is the law that a woman caught in adultery shall be condemned to death, stoned. And so they bring her in. The truth is, this woman, it says in your law that we should kill this woman. What do you say about it? And Jesus says, Jesus doesn't argue with them that she's caught. What does he do? There is the truth of God's word and the opinion of the men who bring in, who believe that she should die. And then the God of heaven does what? He says, you're right. You're right. She's worthy of death. Just the first one of you without sin cast the first stone. Peter does this after Gethsemane when Jesus comes to be arrested. Peter goes zealous, gets his opinionated, zealous self on. Jesus is getting arrested. Peter takes out his knife and he throws it and slashes off this dude's ear, thinking that he is doing the right thing with this passionate love for Jesus. And what does Jesus tell him? Peter, Cephas, stop. Put down the knife, because those who live by the sword will. And then he puts the ear back on. Here's what I get out of these two stories. People were passionate about truth, but forgot that the viable love and grace of God still reigns. And this is what I'm going back to. If I have an opinion, and I don't want to tick anybody off any more than I already have. But the point is, if Jesus has a truth, like I just keep going back to abortion or racism or anything like this, if there are truths that break God's heart, the other thing I need to make sure my opinions don't get in is how Jesus would handle it. How would he handle it? How would Jesus deal with people that are living in cracked out, mentally broken, whoring lives? Would he stand there like religious rigmarole and condemn them and treat them like garbage? Or would he show them himself and give them the opportunity to come to him? And so the question is, even though we have the righteous answer, are you the righteous judge that is going to be able to one to tell people how to live their lives the right way without your opinions being floored in it? Westboro Baptist Church. Hey, let's take God's view on homosexuality and say God hates fags. Truth mixed with the opinions of how God would lay out his truth. You hear what I'm saying? Abortion. I believe abortion is wrong. But do you think that Jesus would stand out on a corner and call a young mother walking into an abortion clinic a dumb whore and she's going to hell because she's aborting her baby? This is the point I'm trying to make, is that we have become so self-righteous in things that are God's truth that we forgot to do it God's way. And I need God's opinion, my opinion's dead, and God's truth over what I think and how I react to what he thinks. Y'all, this is look at the American church. This is a part of the problem. We thought that everybody that knew Jesus looked like Jeff, that we are the front runners of the world, and that what we think is wrong, and we need to return back to what this godly country was in the beginning. This godly nation owned people. There were Puritan preachers on slave ships. Presidents owned men and women. How on earth is that God's heart for a nation? We don't need to return to anything. We need to repent and become what God wants us to be, finally. Amen? Well, that set off a nerve. So I just wanted to run around just two things of application for you. So how on earth do I make sure that my opinions line up with God's desires and the truth? Number one, these are just simple. You're going to say no duh. Everybody say no duh. This is a weekly pattern, right? Number one, seek him first. It's the greatest thing God has ever taught me that has saved me more heartache and that I still need to learn is, Rob, shut up. Seek me first in my kingdom. All these other things will fall into line. I want to represent Jesus. And I have to come to a realization that my mouth doesn't always represent Jesus. So I need to seek him first. Number two, everybody say the 6-8-10 principle. Oh, this is good stuff that you should have got back in middle school ministry, but this is still one of my favorite things that we go through. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 8, chapter 10 talk about these scenarios of how you should react and why you should react. So just let me read these to you. Number one, 1 Corinthians 6:12 says something, we could just put this in the form of what I'm going to say. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. This is the 1 Corinthians 6 part. Number one, is what I'm going to say, even though I can say it, is it helpful? Is what I'm going to say going to represent Jesus and bring him glory and honor and cause other people to feel loved and even convicted in God's way, not mine? Number one. The other part of that says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Do me a favor, go back to the Facebook page of your life and tell me if you have more pro-gun, pro-breastfeeding, pro-healthy eating over you have pro-Jesus. What dominates you? I've seen good people I love go, I think Jesus wants us to be natural farmers. Rad, make, get natural food, but that becomes their God and Jesus just becomes the reasoning behind it. It can't be that way. You can't let anything take the main thing of your life, even when it's for a good reason. So does it dominate you? This other one says, 1 Corinthians 8, the 8 part says, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. That's obviously in their presence, because I'm going to chow down when I get home, right? No, does it make other people sin? Is what you have to say exactly in line with the kingdom of God, or is what your opinion say, is it going to cause other people to stumble? If I'm going to rag out a vegetarian, that's dumb. God has given us dominion. Your wife should eat meat, and it is breaking God's heart. What if she actually takes that to heart? What if she actually gets that and starts to go home, and it starts to frustrate her love for the Lord because she thought she was honoring the Lord, and now her pastor just told her that she's being a fool and not honoring the Lord. It can cause her to sin. She could fall off or break away if she is not rooted. I have to be careful in what I say if it causes other people to stumble. And I'm going to tell you this, your right to be heard does not ever make it okay to break somebody's heart. Your right to be heard, you don't have any rights in the kingdom of God. Besides, your butt's a sinner, you deserved hell, Jesus saved you. Rights evoked. Amen? All right, and the last one is in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Does it glorify Jesus? Simple. Hold on. Before this vomit comes out of my mouth, will this precious piece of information I'm about to dispose on my wife honor Jesus? Will it honor the Lord? Then if not, here's one of the best seasons of life in me when Rob is quiet. Seriously. Think about your marriage right now outside of the confines of your opinions. Seriously. Imagine your marriage with godly truth, wisdom and opinions, and I'm not saying all opinions are bad. I'm saying trumping opinions. Well, I think that you, how many of those have said those words and they turned out very well for you? Imagine if we just wanted what God wanted for my wife, and I wanted to say what God wanted to speak to my children instead of me reacting like a Neanderthal like my old man taught me. What if that was my heart's desire, and what if I actually believed the Holy Spirit would fill me to do that? Amen? Another one of these you see up here, seek counsel. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in the abundance of counselors, there is safety. You know another reason why? If you don't know if something is godly, guess what? Go ask your pastor or an elder or somebody you're discipled by, right? You'd be like, I got this really great idea, Pastor, I'm going to start this ministry that shames women who really think it's from the Lord. Let's pray about that together. Sometimes you might not be able to decipher what is an opinion versus what is God's truth. And it's okay to seek counsel and ask people you trust. And by the way, don't put it out on Google. Don't make it a Facebook request page on what do you think I should do about scenario. The other day we had a missions team meeting and all we had to do was decide what color and what softness of shirts we wanted. So we let it out there, and I told John, I was like, watch this. This is going to end up stupid. And so we said, hey, what kind of shrimp? Because usually I will just lead. We are not, this right now, where do you guys want to go for lunch? Let's just put it out there. Where do you guys want to go to lunch? McDonald's? What else? Who wants something expensive versus something cheap? Who wants Mexican versus Italian? How many of you have food allergies? Okay, good. So we'll just get the point is you can't throw it out there to everybody. This is why we have wise counsel. This is why offices in the church are also very important, because you need to seek, hey, pastor, guess what? I just quit my job and went off and da-da-da. Whoa! Why did you not seek counsel? Amen? And my last one is don't say everything. Shh. Look at your neighbor and say, shh. Do you know how many wars, marriages, lives? Think about all the words people have spoken over you that have broken your heart. And what if somebody just shut up and didn't say what they felt like they needed to say? What if they held their opinion for a minute instead of just making you feel like you needed to hear what they had to say? What would it have done in your life? And what would it have done in your life to other people that you speak life or death into? Here's the ending. This has nothing to do with not being bold and standing up for Jesus. I just want to put that out there. Oh, our pastor's going cowardly, and he's not going to stand on God's desire for the Ten Commandments to be in courthouses. I'm leaving and going to a real Bible preaching church. You come in here and hang and tell me we don't preach the Word. And we don't leave the bar high. We leave the bar exceptionally high. What I'm saying is there's bigger thing than this about being soft. This is about being like Jesus. This is about doing things Jesus' way. This is about doing things with Jesus' words and not my big mouth opinions. Because that kind of world is what sees neighborhoods changed. There are a lot of people out there that have church baggage, right? And some of it is on them and the devil, and some of them is literally from doofusy people at the church saying dumb things that Jesus would never say. Is that true or not? It's true. So our heart's desire is just to be the church, to be the people that Jesus would want us to be. Your passion for exercise, politics, guns, breastfeeding, they could be very good things, but they should never be placed over the good thing of the universe. And I wanted to put this up there. This brilliant scholar wrote this. Let your opinions that are not the main thing always take a back seat to what is. The only hill you should die on is which pertains to Calvary. The only thing in your life that should be immovable is Jesus and his viewpoint of the cross and the blood. Written by a brilliant scholar, W.R. Danes. I don't know if you ever met that guy. I know you needed a quote, and so this one was going to send you. But listen, the only hill you should die on is those which pertain to Calvary. The only thing in your life that should be immovable are the things that come from the blood of Jesus. So let's go back to the boom. And if you're new today, the boom is the main point we want you to take home. My opinion, what I think, can mean nothing and cause damage if it's not baptized in the truth of God's word and his desire. What he thinks, what he wants, and what he says should be the only thing that guides my life. Should we go back to more opinions? Let's pray. Stand up with me. Lord God, God, I don't think that this is intended in any way to make anybody feel insignificant. This is not God saying or some raggedy preacher saying your opinions don't matter. The point of this is that the things that matter to you must become the things that matter most to me. God, we are free in Christ Jesus, and we are allowed to do anything short of sin, Father. But in that, Lord, we don't want to make sure that we bring a bunch of law and legalism and hate to people who don't know you well or don't know you at all. So, Lord, I just come, number one, the beginning. I've done this from the pulpit. I have brought my agenda in the years past and my opinions to shame or to ravage or to make people change into ways I thought you wanted them to do, and I was completely wrong. God, forgive me. And Lord, I just pray for everybody else in here, Lord, this is the point. We want to look and sound and be and talk and walk and pray more like Jesus. And so, Lord, if anybody else in here has any conviction this morning, Lord, we repent. We come, Lord, and we ask you to, if you evaluated our Facebook pages or Twitter or our thoughts or our opinions we vented at people that we should have cared about, Lord, I believe that you would have a word for us. And Lord, we just want to come today with a repentant heart and say, Lord Jesus, forgive us. Fill us with your words. Fill us with your desire. Fill us with your heart. That is what you require. That is what it is to be your disciple. And God, we need your help. Lord, fill our mouths with the things of heaven. God, fill our minds with the things of heaven. And may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth and in my mouth as it is in heaven. God, we want to represent you well.